now, ladies and gentlemen, eagerly anticipated as it is most Mondays, except when she's off. It's time to spend a little time with our dear friend, Jill Schlesinger, the host of Jill on Money, which you can hear on Saturday afternoons from 4 until 6, or anytime at jillonmoney.com. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
How are you? You've got a lot of good stuff up today.
Oh, yeah.
No, you do, really.
I'm not messing around. Well, you know, I got a great radio listener who called in and basically said to me, world's going to hell in a handbasket. What should I do with my portfolio? That was really the question.
Burn it. Bury it.
And so I decided I'd write a post called Preparing for Armageddon. And my executive producer, Mark, decided that he would put the scariest possible image at the top of this
let me
post.
Let me see.
It's very upsetting. And so I'm sorry that I did that. I'm sorry he did that. But it is.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the guys in Pittsburgh just said to me, oh, he just took a screenshot of his video game. That's probably what he did. I don't know, maybe. Anyway, I know that when you hear about fighting in Syria, protests in Hong Kong,
right,
Brexit,
right.
The impeachment inquiry, trade conflicts, all that stuff, that it can really get you going. And you can feel it almost like you viscerally, gosh, there's something horrible going on. And what I think that you have to remember is, as human beings, we're programmed to want to do something with those feelings, right?
Right.
And even on a rational level, you know, I don't need to do anything. But you feel like you have to do something. And where is the easiest place to do something?
Where?
Well, of course, in your portfolio, in your retirement account. It's a click away, right?
Yes, indeed.
And so I just want to warn everyone that as you start to have those feelings, you may want to remember this conversation that you heard on the radio with the great Ray. And you say to yourself, I might be feeling this, but I don't have to do anything. Because if you were to go to cash, which is what most people think they want to do, then what happens if things kind of settle down and all of a sudden markets go higher? Then what you do is you wait. You wait. You say, well, I know, but I have a thing, but it's gonna. And you stick around in cash and you miss all the move up. Let's say you're smart. Let's say you're lucky.
Yeah.
Let's say the market does collapse right after you do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now what? When are you getting back in? It's very hard. So if you want to do something, here's what you do.
What do?
You go back to basics. You say, okay, when I'm nervous, what should I do? I should go and make sure I've paid down all of my outstanding debt, my credit card debt, maybe some student loans, maybe some auto loans.
Yeah,
don't pay after your mortgage, but like, you know, the consumer stuff.
Yeah.
Then you make sure you've got your 6 to 12 months of your living expenses socked away.
Yes.
You know how many people have that? Not a lot.
Oh, 10.
Right. So, and Ray and I are two of them. So now 8 of you. Anyway, you want to make sure you've got enough money on hand. And then you want to continue to move money into your retirement account. Now, that said, if you did something stupid back in the summer, like you decided you were going to take a high flyer and it didn't work out, then just make sure you are allocated for a market that could go up or down.
Right.
You don't want to be crazy. Don't have to take a huge bet. And finally, what I would say is this. You know, this job market is still pretty good.
Yes.
You know, 50-year low in the unemployment rate. You hate your job. How about doing something like this? Go look for a new job.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Because this is a time where I think people sort of settle in. And then when a bad – or even if you like your job but you work for a company where you feel like there's big risk, I'd look around or I'd start looking for my little side hustle. I'd like to do something to make me a little bit more comfortable with my cash.
Well, and it gives you at least, I don't know, a safety net more than anything, I suppose. By the way, Jill's brought to you by Asset Strategies and Avon. I forgot to do that, and that's bad because they're nice people.
Yes, they're very nice.
Hey, one of the things you were talking about, though, is, okay, let's say that you're kind of nervous. You're worried about the stock market. You did have somebody call up and ask about bond funds on Saturday. You know, is that part of the mix? Should that be part of the mix?
It's always part of the mix. You know, when you think about what is a diversified portfolio, you say, what are the broad categories? So an asset category is cash or a money market, a bond, fixed income, stock, equity. And some people have the choice of maybe in their retirement accounts, there's maybe a real estate or a commodity fund. That's about it. And you know, if you're 100% in stocks, but you have four different kinds of stock funds, you're not diversified. So, and by the way, if you're all U.S. stocks, you're not diversified. You might have some U.S., a little bit of the international. So we want a little bit of everything. The good news is that if you're looking at your portfolio and you have a retirement account, all of these big companies have ways to measure your risk tolerance, and then they'll pump out a sample asset allocation that you should consider.
All right.
Then good stuff, man.
Well, you see, what a lot of people don't realize, Jill, and it took me a long time to realize this, but a lot of the investment money is in bonds.
Oh, yeah. I mean, let me just be clear that there's way more money in the bond market than the stock market.
Way more.
And if you look at like a pension plan and how pension plans are managed, pension plans have a good chunk of money in bonds. Bonds are not bad. Bonds are a way to create
steady
or fixed income. That's why it's called a fixed income investment.
See what we've learned? Hey, by the way, there's an interview you did, and I thought this is one of my favorite airlines is JetBlue. I like Southwest, but I also like, you know, them. And I mean, that's been an incredible success story.
Fantastic. So it was amazing because I had the chairman of JetBlue who came on. Now, what's really kind of cool about this is Joel Peterson, comes from a background that's so different than you would have thought.
Awesome.
And he's really just an investor. He is a guy who makes investments in cool companies. And he became the chairman of JetBlue. Now, the funny thing that I couldn't put on there is that his PR person he came with, guy says to us, you know, he's like a billionaire because he's so cheap. He looks at the price of peanuts when we're in the airport. I thought that was funny.
Maybe that's how you get to be a billionaire, at least one of the steps.
Well, maybe it's how you keep it.
Yeah, well, that's the most important thing. And that's what he's trying to do. No, but that's been, how long has JetBlue been around? 20 years?
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you know, my daughter was in love with them from day one. But, I mean, they're incredible. I mean, they
send their people not just to, like, every single person not only goes through, like, safety training who's on an airplane.
Yeah,
they go to hospitality training.
And it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Really does.
Yep.
So there you go. Just wanted to get that on there. But it's great because, you know, now, of course, they're hubbed in New York at JFK. But, I mean,
they are.
But the fact is, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I think they were the first to put TV screens on the back of the...
Oh, yeah, for free. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, Delta had the ill-fated song, which didn't last very long.
Listen, but when you go to JFK, go check it out. There's also the old TWA building has been repurposed
into
a hotel.
So, yeah, hotel now. You're right, yeah. Oh, God.
For those of us who remember TWA.
There are a lot to remember.
Not to mention Pan Am.
I was thinking Eastern. Remember Eastern?
Eastern, sure. We used to fly that to Florida and National.
Yep, National. And then we had Slow Hawk. There was that. Well, Mohawk. That's what they were.
I think there was People's Express. Denver. Yeah, you fly from New York to Denver for $60 with a student ID. In 1985.
Well, the way Southwest started was when I was working in Dallas, it was like $15, okay, to fly anywhere in Texas because that's all they were allowed to do. And that was pretty good. And then you had, what was his name? DeLorean? I can't remember this. Not the car guy, somebody else, but Lorenzo. But I mean, that was, you know, they had two low cost airlines. So you're right, though. I mean, all these airlines, Braniff, they're gone.
Oh, yeah. Got to go to Europe if you want those big discounters. They're the ones European airlines, they still have many better discounts than in the U.S. But you know what?
What, Jill?
Don't go to Europe yet. Save your money.
All right. What's the big number, by the way, this week? Is there one?
Nothing really going on. We have earnings season. So we're just going to keep an eye on these poor companies that have been moaning and groaning about how we're not spending money and they're still making money. So everyone relax. They're going to be fine.
Okay. Thanks, Jill.
Take care.